I want to tell you guys a little bit about my story and my testimony, but first I want to play a clip. And I just found this clip, well, I didn't find it, a relative of ours found it, of my great grandmother who I met, but I was literally a newborn baby. And she passed away shortly after I was born. But we just found this clip, and I wanted to play it because it just goes perfectly with my story. So give it up to Great Grandma Lou.
First, I'm going to start by reading a scripture. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. And his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and gives the hungry with and fills the hungry with good things. I got filled up to here. It didn't take my cold away, but then this is what the Lord gave me. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That hit me. That's me. I'm a chicken. I don't talk to people about the Lord like I should. Not even my grandchildren. And I was really hit tonight when those dear grandchildren, all of the ones up there, especially my own, I should have been talking to them, and I haven't. I haven't. I hope you can all forgive me. Before I went to Marion with all these dear children, I was a lukewarm chicken. After having being in an atmosphere of praise and holiness, I will never be the same. This lukewarm chicken has done an about face. I need your prayers.
That's so good. Come on, man. She read Psalms 107, and in the Passion Translation it says, "So lift your hands and thank God for his marvelous kindness and for all his miracles of mercy for those he loves. How he satisfies the souls of thirsty ones and fills the hungry with goodness." So cool. I'm telling my story today, and part of my story, where I am at today, is because of Grandma Lou. And it's because of her mother, Great Granny Granger, who's my great-great-grandmother, who was filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues and was a fiery lady. And the only reason I'm here today, full of the Spirit, on fire for the Lord, is because of my great Granny Granger, my great-grandma Lou, my grandma and grandpa McKenney, who are sitting right there. Wave to me. My parents who are over here. And my story is a story of generations handing the baton off to the next generation, saying, run with the fire of the Lord. Don't stop getting thirsty. Don't stop being hungry, for he is good. That's my story. So as I tell my story today, what I really want you to know is any wisdom that comes out of my mouth comes from the Holy Spirit and comes from my grandparents, my parents, my grandma and grandpa Bricker, who are not here today, who have instilled in me the wisdom of the Lord. And I'm here to tell you that it's possible to pass on the presence of the Lord to your kids and for them to walk out a righteous and holy life unto the Lord, unto his goodness, unto his presence, by just being yielded to his Spirit. So let me tell you my story. Okay, so I was born here in Port Huron. I was born at Port Huron Hospital. And I was born brought up in an atmosphere of the glory of the Lord. We went to a church that was full of the Holy Spirit. We experienced miracles. We saw people, you know, falling out in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. It was amazing. It was so cool. And I'm so happy that my parents introduced me to a holy God who was holy here. And basically, as a three or four years old is when I said, I love Jesus and I want to give my life to Jesus. And I just gave my life to the Lord as a young boy in kids' church. And I'd also like to say, if your children give their lives to the Lord in kids' church, that can stick. The enemy will come in with doubt and say, you know, it's not going to stick. They're going to have to keep on getting saved. No, they can actually stick. I always, growing up, had the sensitivity to Jesus. Like, when people would talk about Jesus, I remember feeling like, he's the nicest man I know. He's so nice. And as a young boy, I was so sensitive, like really sensitive, a lot like my son Knightley, where like if you say one harsh thing, he's like, he'll just break. And my parents get into us to it. My dad would be like, don't do that. I'm like, whoa. I was so sensitive, and I believe it was because the Holy Spirit and Jesus were so in me, they were guarding my heart from becoming tough, from becoming bitter, from allowing external sources to say, don't be this way, because that's not what a man looks like. I'm so thankful for my dad and my mom, and they raised me up in this way that to just hear the voice of God. And so as I grew up, we actually ended up changing churches, and we ended up going to a Westland church that did not end up believing in the Holy Spirit. They believe in the Holy Spirit, but if he showed up, they might kick him out. You can actually go to a church that doesn't actually want God there, just so you know. Fortunately, every single person here knows that you're in a church that wants God here. And I remember growing up, and at a young age, I saw that stuff, but over time, I wasn't seeing it as much. My mom would bring me to Bible studies, and I'd see the occasional, like, little Bible study, like, people speaking in tongues and people laying hands on each other, and I saw it, but it wasn't as consistent. And so over time, I started feeling like God was really far away. Like, he really loves me, but he's not just in my day. That's not a thing. He's not just here. He's there, and my goal is to die and then get to him. Anybody been there? My only goal here on earth was, I just need to die, and then I'll get to heaven, and that's when you win as a Christian. But I'm telling you right now, that's not the victorious life of a Christian. That's not victory in Jesus' name. That's actually victory in death's name. Because if you need death to get you to heaven to be saved and to be free from sin, then death is your savior, not Jesus. And so as I'm growing up, my parents, I'm just so thankful for my parents, because they'd bring us to these tent revivals and things like that. And I remember sitting, probably 10 years old, I'm guessing, I remember sitting next to my dad at a revival service. I'm going to cry. Sitting next to my dad, and I remember the presence of God being so strong, and I look over at my dad, and he's just bawling his eyes out. And I remember thinking, like, you know, when you're a kid, you're looking at your dad as this, like, superhero strong man that's invincible, you know, and he was broken before my eyes. But somehow him being broken looked like he was being put back together. And I remember sitting there just being like, wow. This is amazing. This is so awesome. I'd be in church and they'd sing, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. And I would cry as a little kid, just a little boy, just being like, I want to give you my heart, Jesus. I heard he did, but I wanted to give him more. And my story is one where I loved his presence. I loved who he was, but I felt like he was far away. And about 13 years old is when I was first exposed to pornography. And from the moment that I looked at that, I was addicted. Like, addicted, just boom. Not just a, like, oh, I went to it, I came back a couple times. Like, boom, I'm in the trenches of filth and shame. And I was living a Christian life where I did love Jesus. I really did. but I really was stuck in this sin over here. This sin, this shame, all these things going on, I was stuck in it. And I would hide it from my parents. And my dad, I remember when I was probably 16 years old, I can still see it. He was sitting on the chair in our living room, and I came home, and we're just having like this deep conversation, and he says, are you struggling with anything? Can I be there for you? I remember him just saying that, like, I want to be there for you. If you're struggling with anything, I want to be there for you. And I remember my shame telling me there's no way. There's no way that he could love me after he knew what I was watching and looking at. And so I said, no, I'm good, we're good. And he knew I wasn't good. Both my parents knew I wasn't good. You know, they knew something was there. And they were open to helping me get through it. But I didn't want to do that. I wasn't into that. Because I felt like even if I go to him, he can't set me free. I'm too stuck. When in reality, he would have taken me into the presence of the Lord with him and said, we're going to battle through this together. And so, long story short, my upbringing, I'm coming up to 14, 15 years old. I've got amazing grandparents who are talking to me about Jesus, who are talking to me about the finished work of the cross, how there's no condemnation in Jesus. And my mom would read to me Joseph Prince every morning before school. She'd read how there's no condemnation in Jesus, that under grace you're not condemned, but if you're under the law and trying to follow this list of do and do this, don't do this, you're going to be condemned, but Jesus set you free. So now you're under unmerited grace and unmerited favor, and you've received an inheritance that you didn't need to buy because it's already been bought for you. And she's reading that depth to me before I go to high school. Every day, didn't you? She did, every single day. If my sister's here, I don't know where, she's over there. Didn't she? Every single day, whether we acted like we were paying attention or not, there were times where some of us would just be like, stop. Mom, shut up. Nobody cares. I remember literally thinking, this is cool that my mom's doing this, but like, I don't need this information. I'm in ninth grade. I don't need this to be okay. I don't need this to get through life. It was seeds being sown in my heart, and she's just casting seeds, and she's like, let it fall where it may. Any good soil, one thing can grow into an oak tree, so let's go. So I've got my dad, my mom, my grandparents on both sides who are still with us today, and they're just casting seeds into my heart, and little trees are starting to grow. This passion for the Lord is underneath all of that shame and guilt, but they took root. How many know you can cover up the goodness of God with your shame and your disgustingness, with your manure. But guess what? His grace can work really well in manure. His roots can start to grow. You might not see any fruit, but there's roots starting to sprout. That doesn't mean that shame is your friend. That doesn't mean you need to be in shame or in guilt to grow. But what it does mean is he can do it in anything, in anyone, no matter what you've done, he can grow in you. And at 16 years old, I go to a youth group at Marysville Assembly of God, which is the same church that Bill and Matt went to as kids and said, we saw ourselves speaking the gospel in front of crowds of thousands of people. In the very same sanctuary, I meet the presence of the Lord like I've never met. I hear this message about how Jesus is here, not just to be like, I'm here. He's here to be part of your day. He's here to change your life, and he's here to speak to you every single day, every minute, every second. The Bible says that his thoughts for you outnumber the sand grains, the grains of sand on every beach in the entire world. His thoughts for you. You. Let that sink in for a second. He thinks so much of you. If you picked up a handful or a jar of grains of sand, I've heard it's upwards of 3 million grains of sand in one jar. So imagine that. So I have this moment with the Holy Spirit where I go to this youth group and the presence of God hits me in the most beautiful way. I used to talk about how it's like I stood in front of a freight train that was headed my way, and there was nothing I could do to stop it. And I experienced the presence of God, and I realized something, that he's in my day, that I can experience him just like I do on Sunday in my own bedroom at home. So meanwhile, I'm also still struggling with porn. But now Jesus is in my world. Like now I'm aware that he's here. Do you know the presence of God is actually your soul's attention that he's here? It's your soul's recognition that he's here, when we call it the presence of God. He's already been here, but now your soul's going, oh, he's here. So if you want to experience the presence of God, you let your soul say, oh, he's here. I'm realizing he's here. So once I realized, my whole life was changed. I'd go to football, and I'd come home. I'd change as fast as I could, and I'd go to youth group. And then when I didn't have youth group, I'd get home, and what did I do, Mom? I went up into my bedroom, and I had my own little Holy Ghost parties up in my bedroom. I'm not making it up. Is it true? They would be in the kitchen. My bedroom was above the kitchen, and they would hear shaking in the floor, just ho, wild craziness. What was happening to me in that moment? I was addicted to porn, but now another addiction was coming in. All of a sudden, I started to get so addicted to his presence that I needed him. I was starting to depend on him. What is an addiction? An addiction is you trying to depend on something to be all right. Right? It's you numbing the pain to try to fix something going on in your heart, and you're going to it because you think it's going to help. And I met another person who was more addicting than my porn addiction. It was more addicting to be with him than to be with porn. But I didn't know what was going on. I'm just 16-year-old Ethan experiencing the presence of God and also experiencing darkness still. How many know it might take some time for you to work through some stuff? It took me my whole life to get through some of this stuff. But it didn't change the Lord's opinion of me because I was after his heart. Oh man, Michael Cugliano says it this way. We come to church and we become Christians because we want direction, not realizing that the Lord wants our affection. And in giving him our affection, we get direction. But you have to give him your affection first to get your direction. But we try to get direction first and say, I don't really want to spend time with you and love you. I just want what you can give me. And he's saying, no, 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 no. That's not how this works. You come to me and we love each other. Then I'll give you some direction. But you can't get to step B without just being with me, without spending time with me, without you understanding the nature and character of my heart. And the only way you can find that is in the bridal chamber with Christ. Woo, that's good preaching, Ethan. So at 16, I started to realize that the victory of Christ was filled and found in the presence of Jesus. I started to get free from something just by spending time with Jesus. And let me kind of walk you through this. So Galatians 5, 16 through 18, it says this. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, which brings condemnation. Galatians 15, 16 through 18 in the Passion Translation. Let's read this. Same verse. Here we go. Let me emphasize this. As you yield to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. When your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder him from living free within you. You hinder him from living free. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your self-life from dominating you. So then the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. When you yield to the life of the Spirit, you will no longer be living under the law, but soaring above it. So now, at 16, I'm starting to be discipled by the Holy Spirit. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is a helper? Yes, Ethan, we knew that he was a helper. Wake up. I'm sweaty because I'm so passionate. And it's hot in here. But I don't care. Jesus is here, so I'm going to be here. The Holy Spirit is starting to disciple me. It says, walk by the Spirit. Let's go to that first verse again in the English Standard Version. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by. Sometimes we think, oh, this is this mystical realm thing. Like, ooh, I'm floating in the glory. Walk by the Spirit. Ooh. Like, it feels... You can read your Bible and just start thinking things are this big mystical thing that's hard to obtain. It's this deeper truth that I can't get. No. Walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Is it hard to walk next to somebody? No. Walk next to the Spirit. When he stops, you stop. When he's moving, you move. When he's busy, you better be busy. When he's resting, you better be resting. In that moment, as a 16-year-old, I'm learning that, wow, by spending time with him, I get more free. By spending time in his presence, I get more free. I used to be up, I'd go up into my bedroom. I'm going to just offend some people right now. Who's ready to get offended? I used to say, Lord, I love your word. Like an umbilical cord, put it in me. Feed me, Jesus. An umbilical cord. There it is. Best dad joke of the day. And I'd sit in my room and I'd say, Lord, everything that's in this book, I want it in my belly. I want it inside of me. I want it so in me that when the enemy speaks, I can speak back to him. And that when the world speaks that you can't do that, you can't do this, I can say, no, 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 no. I've got this in me. I'd spend hours upon hours in my room singing, ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because the Holy Ghost party don't stop. Like, just joy, right? Joy and overflowing. I used to just laugh and laugh and laugh. And that was the season that I needed, because I needed joy to overcome the shame and guilt. See, when you're struggling with sin, the Lord doesn't come and condemn you more. He didn't show up to the woman caught in adultery and said, see, you jacked up. What did he do? He said, I'm not here to accuse you. You should head on your way. While everyone else was ready to throw a stone, the Lord said, I'm not here to accuse you either, so I guess it's time to get out of the dirt now. And we find ourselves, I've found myself in the dirt, and every single time the Lord puts his hand up, he says, I'm not condemning you. Let's get out of the dirt now. Walk by me. Follow me. See, we turn Christianity into a thing where we want the direction, we want the benefits of a son without being a son, without saying, I live in my Father's house. I know my Father's voice. I know his thoughts. I know his character. I know his nature. And the only way you can get that is by spending time with him. I'm not here up on my high horse saying, oh yeah, like I'm so good at spending time with the Lord. I wasn't good at this. I didn't have a formula. I just would go into my room, flip on some worship music, and I'd lay there until I felt his presence. And doing that propelled my whole life to know that I don't need to feel him to be okay. The presence of the Lord isn't just about feeling him. For 3/4 of the worship set, if you saw me up there, I looked like a crazy person, and I didn't feel anything. But he was deserving of all of this. He's deserving of me having sweat on my shirt while I'm preaching because I worship too hard. I heard laughs in the live stream room on that one. He's deserving of it, whether I feel it or not, because I've spent time with him to know that he rewards the hungry and thirsty. Like Grandma Lou, he rewards you with hunger, with goodness. Matthew 5 says that it's that the hungry and thirsty for righteousness will be what? Satisfied. So how do you get over your addictions, over your sin, over all of your stuff? How do I overcome pornography and lust? I started to teach myself to spend time with him long enough to realize that he satisfies way more than that. I spent enough time with him to realize going back to the slop doesn't fill my tummy. My stomach is hungry spiritually for something that satisfies. Bill Johnson says it this way. He says, in the natural, when you're hungry, you eat and then you're not hungry anymore. In the spirit, when you eat and you drink, you want more of whatever you just had. You're satisfied, but you want more. How many of you guys have been to a buffet where you eat and eat and eat, and now it's sin because you're eating too much? And then you're like, man, I just wish I could keep eating. Wish there was more space available. America. It's the American dream. All you can eat buffet. Let's go. Round two. I'll be in the tent over here. I'm just going to camp out for the day. Hit breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then hit the dessert bar on the way out. That's me in the spirit. That should be all of us in the spirit. That when we spend time with the Lord, we're like, I don't want to get out of this. I want to stay here. I want to stay here. And it's something to know that the presence of the Lord is costly. That a high cost was paid so that Jesus could be here with us. That his spirit could reveal Jesus to us. A high cost. So when you come into the room and you experience his presence, it's free for you, but it was a high cost. And when I come into the room on Sunday, I'm not coming into the room and to just get something from the Lord. I'm coming to give him something in return for the cost that he paid. When I'm at home, I have better times with the Lord than I do here. Believe it or not, I don't live for Sunday morning to get me through. Jesus has already been in my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We've turned church into a hospital. And you know what? It is a hospital for the lost. But it's a equipping, empowering, get after it, militant thing for Christians. For those who are in Christ, it says you're the ambassadors of Christ. That's a military word that they used in comparing it to Rome, where you'd go into another country and you would make it acceptable for the king and the emperor who would come into that country. So when I come into church, I'm like, Jesus, I want this place to look good for you. I want it to be accepting to you. I want you to smell sweet fragrance from what's coming out of my mouth. I want everything to be for you. Mm-hmm. Do you guys know that the Holy Spirit's not on our payroll here? Do you know that he's not under my payroll, Bill's payroll, Kim's payroll? Do you know that we're not in charge of what he wants to accomplish? So when you go into your quiet time with the Lord, he's not on your payroll. You're on his. And it's his desires that matter most. And in those moments of stepping into his presence, saying, I yield to you, I'm going to let you talk more than I talk. You'll receive the reward of the Holy Spirit in that. Say, that's good, Ethan. By spending time in his presence, you receive his reward that he has waiting for you. It's already been paid for. He's already ready to give it to you. But don't come to the Lord being like, well, okay, Jesus, I need you to fix my neighbor. I need you to fix my wife. I need you to make my finances better because I made some poor decisions with a credit card. I need you to save my children. He'll do all of it if you just be with him. Don't be concerned about what you need. Be concerned about what he has to give you. Be concerned about when you're with him, what's his tone of voice like? When he's speaking, are you quick to listen? And if you're not, say, Lord, I need help. You need to teach me how to do this. It sounded great when Ethan talked about it. I have no idea what I'm doing here, so just help me. That's where you'll find the victory of the Christ-like, the victory of a Christian world. So let me walk through this with you real quick. So Psalms 30, I'm skipping around. Here we go. Romans 6, 13 through 14. Sorry, Bonnie, I'm skipping ahead a little bit. Romans 16, 13 through 14, it says this. It says, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. What's the first thing that he says? Present yourself to God. It says, do not present yourself as instruments of unrighteousness. Present yourself as an instrument of righteousness. The number one step is just presenting yourself. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. We've made it so complicated. Like, well, we need a really hype worship. We need to get to the bridge. The bridge has got to be really hype for me to feel like he's here. And, then I need somebody to come and give me a prophetic word so that I can know that I'm all good in God's eyes. And then I need Bill to come pray for me. And, I just really need a good message at church to feel all right. Like this thing's working. No, present yourself. Here I am, God. Here I am. That's all you have to do. It doesn't just land in your lap. You just have to do it. So you can go home tomorrow on a Monday morning, get up at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. and present yourself to the Lord, and he will use you as an instrument of righteousness. You're like, that's too easy. That's too good to be true. So is the gospel. The gospel is too good to be true. It's such good news. It doesn't make sense. That's why it says it confounds the wise. So look at this. Fun fact for you. When we would go to McMorrin, do you guys remember how cold it was in the morning some days? Just, especially for the band, it's just freezing. Freezing cold. And we would sometimes leave our instruments there, and I'd leave my bass in its case. I'd grab my bass Sunday morning, and I'd tune at the beginning of the set, get it all tuned, make sure everything was properly in tune, in line. And then something would happen as we would go through worship. All my tuning would start changing. And the tune of each string would start moving and changing, and I remember thinking, well, especially when I was new at playing bass, I'm like, what is going on right now? What's happening? My E sounds like an F. It's not right. What was happening is my bass was experiencing the warmth of my body, and the warmth of my body would go into my bass. Are you hearing me? The warmth of my body would go into my bass, and the tune of the bass would start changing. And I'm here to tell you right now that if you want to change, if you want the victory in Jesus, if you want that victorious life, just get with Jesus. His presence will get in you and on you and through you, and your tune will start to change based on the presence of the Father. Woo-hoo. That's all it is. It's not about me hyping you up. It's not about the band hyping you up. We're already hyped up because of the victory of Jesus. I already know he's in me and he's working through me. And that's been my whole story, is every time I found myself in sin, it was always, everybody say always. It was always because I wasn't spending time in his presence. Anytime I've walked in sin, anytime I've ever fell, it's because I stopped walking next to his Spirit. We can't take a week off. I'm learning that the older I get, I can't take a single day off. I need him every day. And the moment I take a day off, then I fall. I need him every single day. Every single moment, every single minute, or else I will go back. How do I know that? Because when you stop being satisfied, you start looking for something that satisfies. And you're like, well, you know, I'm stronger than that. I don't need to be with him every morning. Well, you're not. You're not. At the end of the day, when Jesus returns, he's going to look at some people and he's going to say, I don't even know who you are. Could it be because you never presented yourself to him? He says, well, Lord, I cast out demons. I healed the sick. I prophesied. I did all these wonderful Christian things. And that's wonderful. But it means nothing if you haven't been presenting yourself to him. You can't live off of Bill's relationship with the Lord. You can't live off of Lydia's intimacy with the Lord. That's why, like, people will be like, oh man, Lydia, you're so anointed. This is so good. I just felt the Lord like I've never felt him before when Lydia sings. Because you're experiencing the intimacy of a woman who has been spending time with the Lord. You're experiencing her victory. You're getting a taste of what it looks like. But guess what? You need to be that way. You need to be that way where people meet you and they're like, I want the victory that's inside of them. I want the intimacy that they have with the Lord. I won't forget it. There's been times where Nate and I will talk, and Nate Thompson's over here. He's one of my good friends. So we'll talk, or Brad's in the back as well, and we'll talk about the Lord, and they'll just start crying. And there's been moments in my life where I see them crying because they're just talking about Jesus, and I'm like, Lord, I'm not there yet. Help me get to that level. Help me get to that intimacy with you where one word, just saying your name, makes me fall apart. Help me to see you the way that they're seeing you. I have not arrived. I haven't. But every single day I spend with the Lord, I just get a little bit closer because I'm walking with him. I'm moving in the direction that he has for me because I'm giving him my affection and he's giving me the direction. We have to walk by his Spirit. Say, that's good. I fell in love with this verse and Lydia started singing it today and I was just like, yes, let's go. Psalms 27:4. Sorry, Bonnie, I'm jumping around again. Pro presenter people who run all the slides, they hate when I preach because they don't, but they might. So it says, one thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing that I have asked of the Lord is to just gaze upon his beauty. Well, Ethan, I don't think it's that easy. I don't think it's that just plain and simple. You might step into the presence of the Lord, lock yourself in a room, and sit there and be like, I'm not getting anything from this. It's because you need the Holy Spirit, what I say earlier, to create hunger and thirst in you and to reveal Jesus to you. You need the Holy Spirit. Without him, how can your heart realize that Jesus is speaking? It can't. Paul says that the Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of the Father, and he searches for the treasures and the hidden things of the Lord. That makes me, yes, Nate's over there like, yeah, dude. He searches. And so when I come into his presence, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to spend time with him, but I do know somebody who's really good at spending time with him, and it's Holy Spirit. So my private time with the Lord might look like laying down in my room, locking the door, throwing my phone as far away from me as I can because it's a demon. It's a demon of distraction. And I get everything away, and then I sit there and I say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me Jesus. And he will. He will. You might lay there for a little bit and not feel anything. You might not hear anything. But in those moments, the Lord he's looking to see, are you hungry enough to just wait? Are you hungry enough to wait for something really good? Do you want a microwave, boop, got it in 10 seconds, or do you want a slow-cooked ribeye, reverse sear, smoked for an hour, then psh, psh. What do you want? Do you want a microwave steak, or do you want a smoked steak? That's what it's like in the presence of the Lord, is we come to him, and we just want instant gratification, and he's saying, my own son, Jesus, had to grow in favor with men and with God. Jesus had to do it. Don't you think we need to, too? Jesus, you see in the Bible, he's escaping constantly, escaping to be with the presence of the Lord, because Jesus needed to be in the presence of the Lord to accomplish the task that God had for him, that his father had for him. It says the disciples went off into town to go get him food, and when they came back, they gave him food, and he said, I'm not hungry anymore. And they were like, why are you not hungry? We just walked 5 miles into town to get you food, and we came back, and now you're saying you're not hungry? And he's like, I ate a meal you don't know about. Every word that the Father gives me is bread. So like Grandma Lou, I need to be hungry and thirsty, because he rewards those who are hungry and thirsty with goodness. So the secret to the Christian life is found where? In the presence of the Holy Spirit. And you can have him anytime, anywhere, all the time. At work, at your home, on vacation, in the middle of your day, while you're driving in your car, you can have him and experience him anytime.